Everybody say, I'm a doer. Say, I'm a doer. Not a hearer only. I'm a doer. Everybody say, I'm a believer. Not a doubter. I'm a believer. Not a doubter. Amen. Whoever heard of a believer that couldn't believe? Right? No, we're not ones that doubt. We are ones that believe. If God said it, then we can do it. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, we started a series some weeks ago called that we're calling Grace to the Humble. Let's go ahead and put up James 4:6. James 4:6. It says, but he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Gives grace to the humble. We read some scripture last week, and we're going to touch on a little bit of it, but not a whole lot. But we spoke last week, and if you haven't heard that message, that'll be up. Go ahead and listen to it online. But we talked about pride. You know, what is this? These verses say God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. But we read scripture after scripture and gave some examples of what pride will do in our life. And it's not good. Amen? Pride is not a good thing. Pride is of the enemy. Let's go. We'll put some of these up. You can take notes. We went over a lot more last week. But Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. When pride comes, then comes shame, but with the humble is wisdom. When pride comes, then comes what? Shame. That's not good. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. Proverbs 18, 12. It says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. That's pride. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. Proverbs 29, 23 said, a man's pride brings him low. But the humble in spirit will retain honor. Isaiah 14, 12. This is speaking of Satan here, Lucifer, when he was part of heaven, but this tells what happened to him. Verse 12, it says, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest parts of the pit. Go back to, can you put up verse 13? It says, you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Now, this is Satan. This is what he did. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. This is the very image of pride. Now, Satan goes about as a roaring lion, says in 1 Peter 5, just past the verses we read. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He is looking for ways to take down the children of God. And he himself is a proud being. He's so proud that he thought he could take out God Almighty. That is pride. And you talk about somebody thinking, you know, they're all, you know, super good at sports. in a certain area. I'm not going to mention any, you know, one in particular, but, you know, have this attitude that I can just take anybody. Well, they might be good, but still a bad attitude. You know, I'll take this person, we'll whip you. You know, trash talking. This is the ultimate. He is saying in his heart, I'm going to take out God. Now, this is not light. This is not anything. There's nothing that is joking about this. Pride in Satan led him to believe he was going to fight against the Creator. See, Satan and God are not equal and opposite forces. Like you see in a lot of movies, there's good and evil, and, you know, they come and go and together and push against each other, and it's just, you know, you don't know which one's going to win, and it just pushes, and then, depending on the story or the movie, you know, good or evil wins. But it's just tight, you know, just toe-to-toe. That's not the way it is between God and the realm of evil. God is the Creator. Satan's a created being. He already tried to take out God, and he got kicked out. And a third of the angels tried to take out God, and they got whipped. There is no challenge here. We're talking about the most powerful being in the universe against a being that was created. There is no equal and opposite force here. It's no contest. Nobody can take out the Lord. Period. It's not even close. It's not even worth talking about. Now, Satan wants you to believe, you know, it's a pretty even race. And he wants to believe he can take you out anytime he wants to. Well, if that's true, why aren't you already taken out? You ever ask yourself that question? If he's so big and bad, why didn't he take you out 15 years ago? Because he can't, unless we give him place. And this is what he's working on. Go ahead and put up 1 Peter 5. Well, we'll just read through. Go ahead and put up 1 Peter 5, 6. And then we're going to go a little bit further down if you can bring that up. So right before this, it says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You have verse 8. We'll go 8, 9, and 10. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice that. Can he just devour anybody he wants?
No.
No, he can't. Now, he wants to make you think he can. He wants to make you think that he can take you out, and he will come at you with thoughts, with images, trying to make you believe you're going to be taken out. We cannot be taken out unless we yield to him. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Next verse. Resist him. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Resist Satan. Well, we need to know what to resist. We need to know and have an understanding of the Word. The more of the understanding of the Word we have, the more we're going to be able to identify what is Satan and what is God. That's why it's important to know. That's why it's important to read our Bibles. It's important to spend time with God. The more we see what he said, then when something comes contradictory, we'll recognize it. And we know we can resist it. We can push back on it. Now, this area of pride is an area Satan Like we just read in Isaiah, he is full of pride. And he tries to get men to follow him in the same way. And to have destruction, we read many more last week, but pride comes before shame, before destruction. Man's pride will bring him low. But there is a flip side of this. Look at James 4:6. James 4:6. We'll go back there and read through here. James 4:6. It says, "But he gives more grace. Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, you double-minded, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom." Verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Let's go back to verse 6. It says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, next verse. Therefore, like somebody said, when you see therefore, you ought to look what it's there for. What came right before it? So it just said, go back again to verse 6. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Next verse. Therefore, submit to God. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit. When you see that word submit, it means to be subject. The verb means to arrange or to place under. It literally means to stand under. The word suggests subordination, obedience, submission, subservience, subjection. When you see the word submit, now it's saying submit to God. When we see that word submit, it literally means to stand under, to put under. And it suggests subordination, obedience, submission, subservience, subjection. When you submit yourself to God, you are humble. Submitting ourselves, putting ourselves under Him, under His Word, that's the definition of being humble. See, humble does not mean you just have a low self-esteem, you're poor, you just don't think very highly of yourself. Those are religious ideas. Humility is obeying God and putting ourselves under Him. In other words, what He said to do, that's what we do. What He said about us, that's what we're going to say about us. What He said in His Word He has for us, that's what we're going to believe. That's what we're going to say we have. How He says to behave, that's what we're going to do. That is a humble person. Submission is an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart. Pride, on the other hand, is a failure to yield to God's way and to do it your way. Pride is rejecting what God said, holding up our hand to Him, failing to yield to Him, and deciding we're going to do it our way. That's pride. Pride assumes and it presumes. Pride makes you susceptible to deception. And you can see that. Satan was so full of pride that he believed he could take out the Almighty. That's deception. This was what pride will do. It will blind. It blinds us. Humility is our protection from deception. Humility, doing what God said, is our protection from the deception that comes from pride. Now, what is pride? It is rejecting God's way. What is humility? Yielding to God's way. If we'll yield to God's way, we are protected from the destruction, the shame, the being brought low that comes from pride. Previous verse says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to who? The humble. Grace is help. Grace is God's ability. That's what we need. I'm going to say a few things here. We're going to go into more scripture. Any problem that we're having, an area that we're having trouble in, those are the areas that we're in pride. I'm going to say that again. The areas that we're in pride in, those are the areas we're going to have trouble. The areas that we are humble in are the areas that we're advancing and being successful in. Well, you could see this. God's word is life. God's word is truth. If we do it the way God said, there's going to be life and help, success, right? But what is pride? It's saying no to what God said and in doing it our own way, which is devilish. That's what Satan said. So Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So any place where we're saying no to what God said, I don't agree with what God said, and I'm going to do it my own way, we open the door to destruction. And that, so anytime we're having pride, we're having areas where we're having destruction, this is a place to look. Look at, am I in pride? Am I yielding to what God said, or am I doing it my way? You can see this obviously in the world. Does the world want to do it God's way or do it their own way? And how much destruction is there in the world? Untold destruction. And a lot of times the response, now I'm not saying this to make fun. I'm not saying that we have it all together. I'm not judging. But look at the response so many times. We don't understand why this is happening. We have to do something about this problem. What's going on here? All the while rejecting what God said about that very thing. And if you looked at the word, you would say, 1 + 2 = 3. You are going to be in pride. You're going to reject God's word. There is going to be destruction in that area. And we see that. So in our own lives, we need to look and we need to say, am I in pride in this area? Marriage problems. Look to pride. If there are problems in a marriage, look to this right here. Because pride will cause strife. We read in another scripture last week. But pride will always cause problems. The husband and wife must do it God's way, not their own way. We see this all the time in the world, and sad to say, in Christianity. People want to have marriage their way and not look at the word, and there are problems. This is the area. Are we looking at it through God's way of doing things? Are we going to treat each other the way God said, or do it our own way? Parenting, same way. Look at the results in the world. We have decided, you know, as a culture and as a world, we're not going to do it God's way anymore. We're not going to do what he said in relating to children. You know, we could go into this, but discipline is totally different. We don't, people say, well, you should not spank. The word, we're not going to go in this. I could give you numerous scriptures that says quite the opposite. The word of God. Now, I know that flies completely in the face of political correctness, but it's the word of God. And what have we said today? No, we don't want to do that. Now, you don't hit a child anywhere, but on the rear end, God designed the human body in such a way that you could make it hurt, but it doesn't cause any permanent damage. That is by design. And we should not shy away from it. Do we want to see the child hurt a little bit on their rear end when they're little, or B, end up where their life is in shambles because they pushed straight ahead and they said, no, God, I'm not going to do it your way, or they said no to their parents who represented, were doing godly principles, and they pushed on, and now you see them hurting. And we see that everywhere in the world, and people say, well, I just don't know why this happened. But at the same time, there is no God. God's way of doing stuff is not right. And we reap the consequences. And this culture and the world is reaping the consequences of rejecting his ways. But there is an answer. The good news is, we don't have to have destruction. We don't have to have shame. We don't have to be brought low. The good news in our marriages, with our children, on our job, there's an answer. What did God say about it? And then whether I agree or not, or whether the culture's telling me something, I say, that's what I'm doing. Why? God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What's the humble? Sir, yes, sir. Can you go to the next verse? Therefore, submit to God. Say, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'll do what you told me to do, the way you told me to do it. And the Bible said, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Can you put up Joshua 24? We won't turn there. Joshua 24. It says, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is a choice. Everyone has a choice. Who are we going to listen to? It's a rhetorical question. We all have the choice of who we're going to follow. What are we going to listen to? What are we going to put into action? Look at put up Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. Notice that. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, what? Choose life. Choose life. We have a choice every day in all of our lives. We can say, God, I choose to agree with what you said. I'm going to do it your way. We have a choice. And one more thing I can say about pride and humility related to what we just said. We can be in pride in one area of our life and be in humility in another area. The areas where we're agreeing with God's word, those are the areas where we're humble. The areas where we are rejecting what he either told us in his word or what he's telling us to do personally, those areas we're in pride. And like I said before, the areas that we're in pride are going to lead to destruction. The areas that we're humble in are going to be flowering. That's why you can see different parts of somebody's life. It's like, wow, this is really going well, but this part is blowing up. Why is that? This is the answer. You go ahead and put up Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, verse 4. It says, by humility and fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Humility. And good things will come. Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 7. We'll skip down to 11. It says, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, or to be brought low. See, you'll see over and over in the Word, like we said, humility is of the heart. It's a heart condition. You can't force somebody to humble themselves. They have to humble themselves. Now, you'll see different places in the Word where it's using the word humble. The same word can be made to be brought low, to push down. But when it's talking about yourself, you humble yourself. And you'll see that over and over in the world. Somebody else can force you to do something, but they cannot force you to be humble. We humble ourselves. It's a heart attitude. And you see that here. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Well, that word means to be brought low. But and he who humbles himself will be exalted. When you bow the knee, when we put ourselves under, then we'll be exalted. What does that mean? When we submit to God, like what we were talking about, humbling ourselves, putting ourselves under him, saying, God, I don't understand. I don't see everything about this, but I know this. You're right, and I'm going to do what you said. Even if it hurts my flesh, even if it pushes me in my mind, even if it's different than everybody around me, if your word says it, if you're telling me by your spirit that I need to be doing something and it lines up with your word, that's what I'm going to do. Regardless, the Bible says that is humbling. And what does it say? You will be exalted. We will be exalted. Let's go ahead and turn over to Scripture. We'll come back to some of these. But let's go ahead and turn over to Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse 5. And I'll put it up on the screen too. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Notice that. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is our example. Jesus, God, came in the flesh, and the Bible said he humbled himself. He put himself, you can see this very clearly, he humbled himself and did what the Father wanted him to do. You can see it in the garden when he said, "Is there any other way that we can get this done? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to do the plan. I'm going to do it your way. That is humility. That is a humble person. Well, that's what you say. That's what God said. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah, but so-and-so says this. I'm going to do what the Lord said. Yeah, but that your flesh wants to say, yeah, but that's hard. That's old. That's outdated. That's not fun. But humility will say, did God say it? I'm going to do what he told me to do. I'm going to do it, and I am going to put myself under. That's what Jesus did. Look at, you can turn over to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, verse 5. Says, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he also says in another place, "You are priests forever, according to the order of Melchizedek," who in the days of his flesh, when he offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Notice that. No, though he's the Son of God, yet walking as a man, he learned obedience by the things he suffered, and having been perfected, became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Obedience there means that those words are from those words that mean under and to hear. It signifies attentive hearing, to listen with compliant submission. Jesus heard what his command was. He had ears to say, whatever you said, that's what I'm going to do, and put myself under and do it. It's used for obedience in general, obedience to God's commands, and obedience to Christ, or in Christ's obedience in general. Jesus is our example. And in this earth, we have so much temptation to do it the opposite way, to do it different than what God is telling us to do. Does anybody notice that? Any way but the way. You notice this? Just with faith in general, or what would be called faith, but religion. You can do any number, talk about any number of religions, but you put the gospel and Jesus forward, now there's a bigger pushback. Why? Because that is the way. That is the truth. Men have pride to do it their own way, and destruction. We see destruction left and right. We'll go ahead and put up a few scriptures, though, that talk about what happens when we are humble, when we do what he said. Luke 18, you don't have to turn there, we'll just put these up. Luke 18, verse 14. Did I tell you this man went down? He was talking about a sinner. Well, let's go back to, we'll read this whole thing. Go to verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9. It says, and he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled or brought low, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. Same thing we read in the other area. Humbling ourselves, doing what God said, is going to cause us to be exalted eventually. That is the way to come up. Matthew 23:11. Can you put that up on the screen? He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Same thing. What's the way to go up? It's to go down. And that's counterintuitive. Although, even in the world, they talk about servant leadership. But you know, it's almost like a means to an end. It's like, well, you know, if you really want to get going, you got to be a servant leader. That means then you'll get promoted. Well, that's the wrong heart to begin with. Yes, that's actually the most effective leadership because that's what Jesus did. And the world's catching on. But still, there's so much, it's not doing it from a heart of love as unto Jesus. It is doing it, well, this is the best way to get results and get what I want anyway and get the more money, so that's what I'm going to try to do. People aren't stupid. People understand when you love them and when you don't. When you're just doing it, trying to use them and get somewhere. Matthew 18:1, we'll just look at this on the screen. It says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Like a little child. Somebody, a little child saying, well, if daddy said it, daddy knows pretty much everything, so that must be right. Now, you and I know we don't know everything as parents, but a little child literally does not know that. They literally think their parents know it. They don't have any other reference. They think if you said it, okay. That's what's going to happen. That's why you should never mess with your child and tell them one thing and then it be false. As far as don't go down a path with some, not going to mention certain things, but there are things where people tell repeatedly over time that something is true and then eventually say, oh, you know what, that's not really true. There are traditions that do that. But eventually, they're going to look and say, wait a minute, you told me that. I believed you. And what we are doing, I'm not saying this, don't take condemnation from this, okay? But there are things that people have, that have been built in to our behaviors. As parents, we are actually training our children to have a relationship with God. Does God ever tell us something that's not true? Never, never at all. Does he ever even say, oh, you know, that's just, yeah, we're just playing around there now. Does he ever do that? Never. He never does that. That's why we can trust him fully. If he said it, that's it, period. There is no possibility that it's wrong. And so as parents, we are training, and obviously none of us are perfect parents, but we are training our children to have a relationship with him. So as we how we train them to react with us is how they eventually are going to tend to react with the Lord. Now, of course, we can renew our minds to the Word of God because He's faultless. We are not, but that's why we want to train our children and point them to the Almighty. But we need to become as little children ourselves so that when we come to God, if God said it, that's it. Like a little child would come to a parent, a small child, and say, well, Mommy, Daddy said it, that's it. That's the way it has to be. And they will argue, won't they? If some of their friends says, no, that's not right, they'll say, oh, no. No, Daddy, Mommy said this. No, you're wrong. And they can get in an argument over it if they believe, right? Well, we ought to be that way. God said it. That's it. And our minds may say, well, I don't understand. Shut up, mind. God said it. Daddy said it. That's it. That's humility. Well, you just don't understand. You know, somebody may come and tell you, well, you don't understand this and this, and no, we're in a modern age. That old stuff doesn't work anymore. God said it. You don't have to get in their face about it, but inside you should be like, you know, that anything against Him will be proven wrong. And it has over and over. How many ideas come and go, yet God's Word stands. His way of doing things stands. I'll just put a few of these up. Read through these. The Bible says over and over how if we'll trust Him and do it the way He said, good stuff is going to happen. Good things are going to happen. Psalm 1:1. You can just jot these down. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice that. Who walks not in the counsel of what? The ungodly. Ungodly is going to promote ideas that are proud, that go against what the Lord said. But there is a counsel of the ungodly. We don't want to be in that counsel. Who not walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. You could read that when you see that in the new, when you, as a new covenant Christian, the Word of God. The law was what they had in the Old Testament. But his delight is in the law, the statutes, the Word of the Almighty, of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. What does that mean? He thinks about it. Verse 3, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Does this sound good? That's when we're doing what He told us to do, submitting to Him. That doesn't mean you do everything. You know, you're not flawless, but your heart is after Him and to do what He said to do. If He said it, that's the way we're going to do it. He is merciful and gracious, and you will get grace. Help. Grace to the humble. When we say, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. Lord, I'm going to put my own pride down. Lord, I'm going to deal with that person the way you said. Then we have help. Then we have strength. And the Bible says we'll be strong. We'll be like a tree planted right by the river. We'll be nourished and built up. And whatever we do is going to prosper. That's the humble person. That's the one that fears the Lord. Look at, we'll put it up on the screen, Psalm 34:9. It says, oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. Now, like we said, that doesn't mean you run away in terror. That's reverence. We reverence. Well, if we reverence somebody's word, are we going to do what they said? Yes. Submit means to rank under. It means for us to say, you told me, I will. Bowing the knee is such a good illustration of it. You're bowing your knee to what He said and said, I'll do what you want. And where we bow our knee, when we bow our knee at work, not to your employer, but to His way of doing things, when you bow your knee in your marriage, when you bow your knee with their children and parenting them, bow your knee with extended family and do it the way God would do it, then he has the ability to come in and do what he said in his word. And it will work because it's his word. He said, "Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." Look at Psalm 112. It says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house. And his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious, full of compassion, and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends, and he guides his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. He will not be afraid of evil tidings, and his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." Look at Proverbs 3, verse 13. You can go ahead and put that one up. This is talking about wisdom. Wisdom of God is his counsel. It says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver and her gain more than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that you may desire cannot be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." Amen. One more, Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." He's talking about all the things that the Gentiles seek. Will be added. Will be added. Over and over, you see the word saying, what happens to the humble, the one that will do what the Lord would have him to do. This is not, you don't see this in the world. You don't see it displayed. You don't see it as a way, a path to follow. But you see it over and over in the word. The humble person is the person that does what he says. The humble person agrees with God and says, "Not my will, but yours be done." And this is the way to be exalted. God is faithful. God is good. God is merciful. God is gracious. And his will, his heart, is for us to have his best. Amen. His will is for us, just like a parent would have for their children. They want the best for their children. And God is no different. He wants the best for his children. And he has put down in his word the ways to operate in all these different areas. And so as we look, when we see a certain area that we're having trouble in, this is a way to go and say, wait a minute, am I doing it the way God told me to do this? Or did I decide I'm going to do it my own way? And if I go back and look and examine the word that has to do with that area, looking at it and saying, wait a minute, I did decide to do it my way. So many times then, we make an adjustment. We maybe make an apology. I'm sorry. You know what? That was stupid. I was just being proud. I shouldn't have said that. How quick stuff can break. It would just listen to him. Just do what he has put down in his word to do. The humble will be exalted. The humble will get the grace. Amen.